joining us this morning at the Wanda Hoyum. She's the director there. Welcome back, Wanda.
Well, thank you, Scott. Good morning to you.
And you've got a new exhibit coming up.
We do. We're currently working on that in our museum right now, and it's titled Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News, Early Health Care in Beltrami County. And it includes everything from traditional Ojibwe healing to dentistry to the history of North Country Hospital and the Tuberculosis Sanatorium Lake Julia, which is located, still standing, and it's located west of Bemidji, 2 miles from Popaski.
And that is a beautiful place, Wanda. That's a beautiful area, Lake Julia.
It really is, Maggie. It's, years ago in the early 1900s, TB was really one of the major causes of death. And northern Minnesota was really targeted for its tonic and healing atmosphere. And that parcel of land was purchased through a tri-state agreement that included Beltrami, Hubbard, and Kuchiching, and eventually Itasca went into agreement on this for a building that cost $55,000. And you can just barely see the building standing now. It needs repair, but people have purchased it a couple of years ago, and everybody that I know of has always had the grandiose plans of turning that into either a resort or a B&B. It's never happened yet, and I don't know what the plans are for it now, but it's a very rich history that stands behind that building, and people were cured, walked away a year to 2 years later cured of TB.
Wow. And you called it a sanatorium, right?
You know, I heard Scott say that. And you know, I think it's really where you're from. I tend to go back and forth. They both mean the same thing. It is a place where patients convalesce from a serious illness. And it really comes from the Latin term sanator, to cure or health. So I think it's really where you're from, because sanitarium and sanatorium really mean the same thing. And people question that all the time, so it comes up. But whatever you want to call it, it was called, actually nicknamed the San, and it was constructed in 1915, and originally 90 acres. And like you said, it's a beautiful area. It actually was considered a Garden of Eden for patients, TB patients there. It had its own greenhouse. It had its own electric generator plant, vegetable gardens, hay crops, dairy herds, and many other animals. And patients were treated to, everybody had a headset on their bed, a headset they were donated by two local newspapers, the Pioneer and the Sentinel. And patients were entertained every night to programs like concerts from the Bemidji Boys Club. And the very first patient was Neil Faltus from Solway, and he came to the sanatorium in 1916 and actually walked away a year later, cured of TB.
$55,000 at the time must have been a pretty handsome sum. How big was this place?
It's sizable. I don't really know the dimensions on it. It's a two-story building, a lot of marble, staircases in it. It was a beautiful building with a basement. And as a matter of fact, I'm working with many departments at BSU for the exhibit that we're working on, and the model department at BSU is making a scale model of the building for our exhibit. So it's going to be, it's really going to be an exciting part of the exhibit. Plus, in our archives, we found the original blueprints.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which was pretty amazing. I had an inkling that they might be there. And once we started really doing some research, lo and behold, we found them.
So this is going to be a slice of history in your Doctor, Doctor, Give Me the News, the history of healthcare in Beltrami County. Do you have Any idea when the sanitarium or sanatorium ceased to be a place for people to go and recuperate?
Well, it it had quite a history right up until the 40s, when TB was a cure for TB came about with chemotherapy, and it actually closed in 53 and opened a year later as a nursing home, and then closed for good in 1968. So it's been standing empty since 1968. But one of the main doctors, and I don't know if you've ever heard of her, but she was really well-known, Dr. Mary Ghostly, started her career in the International Falls to Black Duck area as a general practitioner. But she came to Lake Julia in 1929 and started a 24-year career dedicated to the cure and the health of TB patients. And she was known statewide for her expertise in diagnosing x-rays with TB. And she had really an uphill battle in the male world of physicians. All those years, being hard, people just didn't want to recognize that a woman was doing all this work. And she was a single mother. It was during the Depression era, so she had her hands full when other people just didn't even have a job. Mary Ghostly was taking care of, at that time, about 60 patients, a huge nursing staff. She had the responsibility of all the groundskeepers. And she was paid only $100 a month for all that work.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, it's hard these days just to think about putting people in a home for a period of time just, you know, to recover from a disease. It just, you know, it just is kind of out of line with, you know, we try to get in and out of the hospital really quickly now. And that's, it's just an interesting concept, how TB was treated in the past. People just needed rest, right, and recuperation.
And fresh air.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, it really is amazing. They would stay for a year, 2 years, and in our collection at the History Center, very interesting photos we have of people sitting outside in the winter with their coats on, windows wide open at the sanitarium. We have stories of how people tried to stay warm in the winter there, stuffing their mattresses with newspaper because the windows were left wide open. If they weren't cured of TB, they froze to death. And they were anxious to be cured and get out of there because that was the concept. It was the fresh air that was going to cure you or kill you. So, and the rate of cure for this was pretty amazing. There's an account in the Bemidji Daily Pioneer in 1927 that said that 90% of the patients showing early signs were cured of TB at this time, and 45% that were moderately affected were cured, and 16% that were very severe cases were cured. And that seems like a really high rate for medicine that, you know, we're not talking modern medicine, and there were medicines that Dr. Mary Ghostly used, but for the most part, it was that the tonic atmosphere that we seem to provide here in northern Minnesota.
Now, did families have to pay for this treatment, or did counties step up for that, or how did they pay for a year or two of treatment?
If you were local from the four counties, you, as a patient, had to pay a dollar a day, $7 a week, and if you came from outside the four counties, then you paid $10.
Ah.
Of course, remember, the place was very self-sufficient, and the county really didn't step up with any money other than the original amount to build the building. So it was donations and the patients and living off the land that really made this place survive and thrive, too. It was a 90-parcel project that turned into 120 acres eventually.
Does the county still own it?
Really sprawling.
Does the county still own that land?
No, it's owned by a private individual. They purchased it, I believe, 3 years ago. And since I've been director, I can't tell you how many people every summer come in and are curious about the building. And then it's always up for sale. It's been through so many different owners in the last 13 years that I know of.
Huh. Interesting.
Very interesting. You should take a cruise out there sometime. It's a very unusual looking building. I've never been inside of it myself. There is a nurse's, a doctor's log home that was built next to it, where several of the owners have lived, but Mary Ghostly lived there. And she lived there with her two children, and one of them still lives in Bemidji. James Ghostly is a retired dentist. And I've interviewed him before, and his life as a non-TB patient is very interesting. It's really fascinating, that aspect of it, as a kid growing up without TB. And his mother shipped him off every summer because all the patients would come outside, and she didn't want him to be in contact with the patients. And in the winter, he was friends with all these people just through the windows. You know, he couldn't go anywhere near the building. So he also has a very fascinating history about the building.
Hmm. Interesting.
And now, did this place have an actual view of Lake Julia?
It does. It sits right on the shores.
And that is around the Continental Divide up there by
Buena Vista
and all of that. So that country is high, hilly, beautiful ground.
Absolutely. I don't know who had the original idea to pick that spot for the TB facility, but I think they were quite a visionary, actually, thinking about it and overlooking Lake Julia and just the atmosphere of northern Minnesota. People came from all over the state for this. And you'd mentioned Agua Ching. Many of their patients went to Agua Ching, usually if there was surgery that was necessary. They didn't really do the surgery at Lake Julia.
All right. Wanda Hoyam is the director of the Beltrami County Historical Society, and she's been telling us about the Lake Julia Sanatorium, and it's part of Doctor, Give Me the News, the History of Healthcare in Beltrami County. That exhibit is going to open when, Wanda?
June 1.
All right, Wanda, thank you again for joining us.
Well, my pleasure, Scott and Maggie.